Everybody has to do things they don't want to do.
But they're not even asking him if he wants to join or not.
Oh, jeez.
They're making him do it.
Kathy, you just don't understand. It's a standard thing.
Right.
In a lot of places, you have to pay dues to a union to work. It's only fair.
But that's my point. It isn't fair.
Oh,
it sounds like you started without me.
Hey,
Joe.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi,
John.
I'm glad you're here. Maybe if you tell them what happened, they'll understand why this is so important.
Yeah, well, okay. You know, I've been working at the supermarket for 3 years now. And I've been doing a pretty
darn good job.
Students
today are very concerned with current issues. This group is working on a class project. But more importantly, it's a controversy that's touched their lives. The question is, should anyone be forced to pay money to a union in order to get or keep a job? Joe and Kathy think it's wrong. John and Pat think it's okay. Let's go back and hear the rest of Joe's story.
So that's the situation. I've been working there 3 years, and all of a sudden a union comes in. Some people wanted it, and I think that's fine for them.
Right.
But it isn't fine for me. Now, if I want to keep my weekend job, I have to pay money to the union.
So what? That's a part of the job. Everybody else has to, so why are you different?
Yeah.
That's what I've been trying to tell you. Some people want the union to bargain for them. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
So they should pay for it.
Right.
But I don't see why people who didn't want the union in the first place have to pay for it.
Okay, but let's just look at the law. It's right here in the National Labor Relations Act. It says that any employer can make an agreement with a labor organization to require union membership as a condition of employment. And one union can be chosen as the bargaining representative for all the employees of a company. Even if 49% of the employees are against the union.
49%? Why should everyone have to support the union when only 50% plus one want that union?
That's ridiculous.
You bet it is.
We're talking about labor unions, not the government.
Right.
Unions are private organizations.
Yeah, but a majority is a majority.
Yeah.
That's how democratic systems work.
That's where you're wrong. You're confusing a private organization with government again.
Mm-hmm.
In government, the Bill of Rights protects minorities. But no private organizations, except labor unions, can force their will on individuals who don't join voluntarily.
He's right.
Right.
Under exclusive representation, the minority disappears.
Exactly.
The minority has no choice and no say. The Supreme Court said that the purpose of the Bill of Rights was to remove certain subjects from the reach of majorities.
For their own good.
They said that one's right to life, liberty, and property, to free speech, a free press, freedom of worship and assembly, and other fundamental rights may not be submitted to vote. They depend on the outcome of no election.
Then what you're saying is that membership in any private organization should be a matter of individual choice.
That's right.
Right.
That's it exactly. Some of the people I work with think the union is the best thing, and I'm not saying it's wrong for them, but I am saying it's not right for me. I want to bargain for myself, and other people do too, like we have been. And some other people at the store wanted another union.
And that ought to be their right. You guys are forgetting that almost 80% of all the working people in this country have chosen not to belong to labor unions.
80%?
Well, maybe your employer only wants to bargain with one union.
It's not the employer's right we're talking about here. It's the employee's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, all right. I think this leads into another part of the question.
John and Pat are right about the National Labor Relations Act. Union officials asked for and got the privilege of exclusive representation. The privilege of bargaining for all employees, including those who think the union doesn't help them. Section 9A says that representatives designated or selected for the purposes of collective bargaining by the majority of the employees in a unit appropriate for such purposes shall be the exclusive representatives of all the employees in such unit for the purposes of collective bargaining. And that's what happened to Joe after working for 3 years at the supermarket. The union came in. Now, these employees have two choices.
What about the people who don't want to join?
Then they have to pay fees.
Oh, yeah.
And most of the time, that's the same amount a member pays for dues.
Isn't that just typical?
They have to pay for something they didn't want in the first place.
There's nothing unfair about that. They get all the benefits, so they ought to pay a share of the cost.
And if they don't pay, they are sponging.
Right. They're getting benefits for nothing. The unions call them free riders.
Come on, wait a minute. Who says I'd get any benefits for the union that I couldn't get for myself?
That's right.
Besides, do you realize what they'd use my money for? Some of my money would go for entertainment expenses, union conventions, and lobbying activities.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have a say in any of this spending. Now, tell me, what freedom of choice do I have left?
That's right. That's the real issue. The main point is that Joe has lost his individual freedom of choice. Don't you see? The fair solution is not to force everyone to pay fees for something they didn't want in the first place.
Yeah, what good would that do?
But to change the law so that no one can be forced to pay money to a union he or she doesn't want.
Sure.
In other words, remove the privilege of exclusive representation. Let each person decide if he or she wants to support a union.
And if union officials are serious in their complaint with what they call free riders, it would be easy for them to get the law changed.
But the same union officials who complain about free riders have never even tried to change the law.
So what's going to happen to you if you don't join or pay fees?
He's going to be fired.
That's right. All the work I've done, the kind of employee I've been, doesn't matter at all. I'll be fired just because I don't want to support the union.
Yeah.
And that's called union security, by the way.
Yeah, and it's really security for the union officials.
You bet.
They get your money, whether you want it them or not. And remember what we said about the minority disappearing.
Yeah.
Even Supreme Court Justice Brandeis, who was a great friend of organized labor, said, "It is not true that the success of labor unions necessarily means a perfect monopoly. It need not include every member of the trade."
Right.
"Indeed, it is desirable for both the employer and the union that it should not. Absolute power leads to excesses and to weakness."
Okay, we've talked about Joe's situation, but that's only one isolated case.
That's right.
Is this really such a big issue?
Yeah.
How many people does it really affect?
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone in any field can be affected by this.
That's right.
Except those people that live in right-to-work states.
That's right. In these 20 right-to-work states, no one can be forced to join or pay fees to a union to get or keep a job.
No one.
Wow, I didn't know that. So what else does a right-to-work law do?
It's simple. A right-to-work law protects the right of every individual to join a labor union. And it also says no one can be forced to join or pay fees as a condition of their employment.
And those people who work in public employment, like teachers and policemen, are protected from forced union membership in 32 states.
But we wouldn't need right-to-work laws at all if Congress hadn't given union officials the power to collect forced dues.
True.
That's in the National Labor Relations Act.
Okay. Has anyone actually been fired for not joining or paying fees?
Sure.
Yeah, there's plenty. Just to name one case, Mrs. Carol Applegate, a Michigan teacher, was fired after 18 years.
Wow.
Just because she refused to pay fees to the teachers' union.
Mrs. Applegate was unfortunately one of the people who have been fired. But just think about the more than 16 million people who would be fired if they stopped paying dues to the union they're forced to support.
Yeah.
And that's not an exaggeration. I got these facts from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
You are supposed to defend forced unionism, and you can't do it. There isn't any defense for compulsion.
If a union is good and can secure benefits that are attractive to all employees, then the workers would want to join, right?
Right.
So why do they want to force dues from people who don't want to be members?
Union officials are the only ones who benefit from compulsory union membership or support.
It isn't a complicated issue. It's the right of an individual in a free society to choose the private organizations he or she wants to support.
You're right.
Now, wait a minute.
No, there is.
Our students are continuing their discussion. But now it's time for you to consider this issue. It can affect you, and it does affect every working American. Joe's situation is not fictitious. It has actually happened, maybe to one of you. Write to the National Right to Work Committee, 8316 Arlington Boulevard, Fairfax, Virginia, 22038, for further information. Your freedom of choice is what's at stake. We think it's too important to ignore.